بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 25 in our series on the explanation of أعلام سنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah. So in this book, it's a series of questions and answers about the basics of the Muslim creed. And so far, we've looked at the five pillars, the Kalima La Ilaha Illallah, what is its meaning? And after that, we looked briefly at each of the rest of the four pillars. And then after that, the author, Rahimahullah, he went on to discuss the issue of Iman, Iman in Allah, and the books, the messengers, the six pillars of Iman. And so at the moment, we are focusing specifically on the first pillar of Iman, which relates to belief in Allah. And with respect to belief in Allah, he spoke about Uluhiyya. What is Uluhiyya? It is Allah's right to be worshipped alone. And the opposite of Uluhiyya, what clashes with Uluhiyya, what contradicts Uluhiyya, it is Shirk. And so Shirk is giving others a share in the worship that belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Shirk is divided into two types. The first is the Shirk which expels you from the fold of Islam. This is when you give something besides Allah a share in His worship. Worship meaning calling upon other than Allah, bowing to other than Allah, prostrating to other than Allah, having a type of fear, like a type of secret type of fear, a fear that you would only have from Allah, a fear wherein you believe that something can harm you or bring you affliction in absence, right? So they have this type of power over you, so you fear that presumed power. So this is fear of someone. These types of feelings or these types of deeds where you invoke or you prostrate, all of this is worship, and that worship is being given to other than Allah, right? So this is major shirk. This invalidates your statement, La ilaha illallah, because you are saying nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah, then you are worshipping other than Allah. So your deed is invalidating and nullifying what you are saying. This is a contradiction. You can't, you know, you can't be being truthful if you are worshipping, giving worship to other than Allah. This is the major shirk. And then the minor shirk, which is what we discussed and we finished in the previous lesson, this is anything in the Sharia which has been given the label of shirk. It has been described with shirk, but it does not expel you from the fold of Islam, right? It does not expel you from the fold of Islam. So this refers to certain beliefs, it's to do with words and deeds and intentions, right? Words, deeds, and intentions.
Sorry, assalamu alaikum. The reception lady said the mic's not on.
The mic is not on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is on. It is on.
It is on, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that side. It is on.
Okay,
no
problem, that's fine.
Yeah, all right. So minor shirk is anything which has been given the label or description of shirk, but it does not expel from the fold of Islam. And this refers to what we see apparently from a person, from his speech and his deeds. And likewise, in terms of intentions. And the general principle or the general understanding that we can have is where you are saying something or you are doing something or you are intending something in which there is a competition in your heart or in your speech between what is due for Allah and what is other than Allah. So let me explain. Like in your speech, when you say what Allah willed and what you willed, ma sha Allah wa ma shi'it. This is a common example, right? You say to somebody what Allah willed and what you willed. This is why it happened. What Allah willed and what you willed. So here in your speech, you are giving equal consideration to Allah and to other than Allah in your speech, right? So it's as if you are making someone compete with Allah in the issue of Allah's will and what happens. This is why the Messenger of Allah, he said to the man who said, ma sha Allah wa ma shi't. A man said this to the Messenger of Allah, what Allah willed and what you, meaning, O Messenger, what you willed. So the Messenger of Allah said, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا. Have you made me a rival to Allah? A rival. Like someone competing with Allah, right? In the same way, when a person, likewise, when he swears by other than Allah, this is another example of what is shirk, ma'ani shirk. Someone swears by other than Allah. He swears by the Kaaba. He swears by his ancestors. He swears by, you know, anything else from the creation. What's happening here is that he is only swearing by that thing because there's some degree of veneration and respect for that thing. And this is, you know, again, this is like a type of magnification of a thing in your heart which is competing with the magnification that is due only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So we're not allowed to swear by other than Allah. This is another example of what has clearly been described as shirk in the prophetic sunnah. Although it doesn't take you outside the fold of Islam, unless and until, obviously, the type of veneration and the magnification you have in your heart is the same as you would have for Allah. Like you have the polytheists, and they have that magnification, they have that veneration in their hearts for their deities and for the gods that they worship other than Allah, and they swear by them. So that for them, upon that type of veneration, is obviously it is a major shirk. Another example is in the realm of intentions, as we said. And this is where we speak about ar-riya, which is showing off, when people do deeds to show off. They give charity, or they pray and beautify the prayer, or they do jihad and they want to be praised as a brave person, as a courageous person, or they may recite the Quran, whatever it might be. So it is said, what an excellent reciter. Again, once again, in all these instances, there is a competition in the heart for recognition by the people and, you know, and receiving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want the pleasure of the people or you want pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This now is competition in the heart, right? In the same way, another type that we discussed in the previous lesson as well is when people are attached to material things, right? Ta'isa abdu dinar, ta'isa abdu dirham, right? Wretched is the worshipper of the dinar, wretched is the worshipper of the dirham. This means people who are so attached to material things that the type of attachment and the love that they have for these material things, it leads them to compromise their obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is like a type of competition in the heart where the love for other than Allah is competing with the love for Allah. So these are statements that we make, these are deeds that we do, these are intentions that we have, these are emotions that we have where we are attached to material things. All of these things, they are actions which can lead to, they can be stepping stones to what becomes eventually major shirk, like where you now start actually worshipping other than Allah. So these are from the ways and means, the asbab that lead to those things. So this is where we finished our lesson. This is just a recap of the previous lesson. And so today, that concluded our discussion of uluhiyyah, Allah's right to be worshipped alone, and what clashes with uluhiyyah, which is the major shirk and the minor shirk. So today we'll move to the next question, which is question number 49 in the book. And so the Shaykh, in his question, ما هو توحيد الربوبية? What is توحيد الربوبية? What is the توحيد of Allah's Lordship? And so the Shaykh goes on to give a lengthy answer, and we'll read through his answer. So he says, هو الإقرار الجازم بأن الله تعالى رب كل شيء ومليكه وخالقه ومدبره والمتصرف فيه. So our belief in the tawheed of rububiyyah is that we have absolute firm conviction, firm belief, firm resolute belief that Allah the Exalted is the Lord of every single thing, of everything, and its owner, and its creator, and its controller and regulator, and the one who is al-mutasarrifi, meaning he does whatever he wishes, whatever he pleases. لم يكن له شريك في الملك. So he has no partner at all in his dominion. ولم يكن له ولي من الذل. Nor does he have any protector for him because of some sort of lowliness or weakness. ولا راد لأمره. There is no one to repel his command. Whatever his command is, no one can come along and repeal it or repel it. لا مؤقب لحكمه. There is no one to come and to somehow now re-evaluate his judgment, to pull back his judgment. وَلَا مُضَادَّ لَهُ. There is no one to stand in opposition to him. وَلَا تُمَاثِلَ وَلَا مُمَاثِلَ وَلَا سَمِيَّ لَهُ. Nor is there any that is like him, or that deserves to be given the same name as him. وَلَا مُنَازِعَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّن مَعَانِي رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ وَمُقْتَضِيَاتِ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. Nor is there anyone who competes or contends with him, who is a contender with him in any of the meanings of his lordship, or any of the necessities of his names and his attributes. Right? So this is the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator, the owner, the provider, the controller, the regulator, who does whatever he wills. He has no partners in any of that whatsoever, none to contend with him, none to compete with him, none to repel his judgment, none to question his wisdom, nothing like that at all. And then he starts mentioning numerous ayat from the Qur'an in which these meanings that we just described are contained. And so from them is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. All praise be to Allah who created the heavens and the earth, and he made the darknesses and the light. And likewise, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all of the worlds. And likewise, he mentions from Surah Al-Ra'd, the 13th chapter, قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ. So he orders the messenger of Allah to say, to ask the question, say, who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? قُلِ اللَّهِ. Say, it is Allah. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Then say, have you taken besides him protectors? Protectors, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرَّ. Who are not able to have, they don't have any control over any benefit or any harm over themselves. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. Say, is the blind and the seeing, are they equal? أَمْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ. Or are the darknesses and the light, are they equal? أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Or do they have any partners who have created like Allah's creation, such that the creation has now become confusing to them? Like, is there any who create like Allah creates? قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارُ. Say, it is Allah. Allah is the creator of every single thing, and He is Al-Wahid, He is the One, and He is Al-Qahhar, He is the powerful, the compeller, the subduer. So as we can see in this passage, there are the meanings of rububiyyah, of Allah's unique lordship. Likewise, he mentions from Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter, الله الذي خلقكم ثم رزقكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم. Say, it is Allah who created you, then He provided for you, then He caused you to die, then He will give you life again. هل من شركائكم من يفعل من ذلكم من شيء. Is there anything of your partners, meaning those partners that you worship besides Allah, is there any of them who are able to do any of this? Meaning create, provide, take life, give life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glorified be He and exalted is He from that which they associate with Him, meaning as partners in worship. Likewise, waqala ta'ala, hadha khalqullah fa'aruni madha khalaqa alladhina min dunih. Allah says, this is the creation of Allah. This is Allah's creation. So show me, what have those created who are besides Him? What have they created? Likewise, the statement of Allah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَىٰ أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Were they created by nothing? Or are they themselves the creators? Did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they have no certainty. So this again, all of these ayat, as you can see, they relate to Allah being the sole creator and the provider and the giver of life and the taker of life and the one who controls all benefit and all harm. And as for those that they take as partners with Allah, they have none of these qualities or these abilities. Likewise, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Maryam, right towards the end, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. So here, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them both, so worship Him and be diligent, be patient in that worship. Do you know of a namesake for Him? Meaning, do you know of one who deserves to be given the same name as Him? And obviously the answer is no. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is none which is a likeness to Him, and He is all-hearing and all seeing. وقال تعالى, and likewise he mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Say, all praise is due to Allah who did not take a son and who does not have any partner in his dominion and who does not have any wali, like any protector or anything like that, out of lowliness, but glorify him with a magnify him or declare him great with a magnification. And finally, he mentions from Surah Saba, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلِ دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say, call upon those whom you claim besides Allah. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They do not possess even an atom in the heavens and the earth. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. And nor do they share with Allah in the ownership of anything in the heavens or the earth. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Nor does he have from among them any supporter or aider or assistant. وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Nor does intercession benefit with him except for the one for whom he has given permission. Right? To the end of the ayah. So as you can see, these are verses that the Shaykh has brought in order to establish evidences for his rububiyyah. And this last verse that we've just read, or this last passage, is a very important passage, because in this passage, as Ibn al-Qayyim explains, Allah Azawajal has cut off all of the routes and avenues, all of the justifications that could be made for committing shirk. And there are four avenues or four routes which are mentioned in this passage. So, as Ibn al-Qayyim explains, he says that the only reason why someone would worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if they own something, if they actually own something, they have independent ownership over something in Allah's creation or dominion. That's the first reason. The second reason could be, if they don't own anything, maybe they are a partner to Allah. They share with Allah in the ownership of something. If they don't share with Allah in the ownership of something, then the next stage would be, okay, well, maybe they aid Allah, they help Allah in the running of His creation. Right? So in other words, Allah needs their assistance to run the creation. And if that is not the case, then the fourth avenue or the fourth justification would be, well, okay, they don't own anything independently, they don't share with Allah anything, nor do they give assistance to Allah in anything, but maybe they can intercede with Allah. They can freely intercede with Allah and, you know, on behalf of other people and bring about benefit or repel harm by this method. Right? So these are the four justifications that we see why people or even whole nations might justify their shirk, right? They might say, well, our gods, you know, like the Greeks, for example, they believe, or Roman gods, or whatever it might be, they believe that each of these gods has control over an ownership over something of in Allah's creation. One owns the rain. One owns, the fire. One owns the sea, the water, you know. And then so they dispose and regulate these things according to their own. So therefore, this should be worshipped. Right? So this is one, this is worshipping other than Allah with this belief as a justification. However, if that's not the case, then maybe they will believe, okay, well, maybe they don't own something completely. Maybe they share with Allah in the ownership, right? So then they believe our gods, our deities, they own something along with the supreme creator. And so that now justifies why we should go to them and go and ask them, right? Alongside Allah. But that belief is false as well, because Allah negated it in this ayah, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ. That Allah doesn't have any, they don't have any partnership with Allah in anything in the heavens and the earth. So Allah negated and cut off that route to shirk as well. So if that's cut off, that's negated, what's the next thing that can be said, right, where there's no ownership at all, independent or shared? Then the next level would be, okay, well, maybe they don't own anything, but maybe they are assistants to Allah. They aid and they help Allah in the running of parts of His creation, right? So these gods, they don't own, the water or the fire or the whatever it might be, but they aid Allah in the running of these things or in the running of His creation. So this now justifies why we can go to them, we can invoke them, we can ask them, because Allah gave them that, they aid and assist Allah in that thing. So this was denied as well. وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. That he does not have any assistant or supporter from them. So once that is negated, what's the only thing left? The only thing left is where you use the idea or the notion of intercession, right? So someone who intercedes, he does not have any ownership, independent or shared, nor is he an aider to the one he's interceding with. He is just going and pleading on behalf of another party, right? So this intercession, Allah denied it as well, because he said, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Meaning that this intercession cannot take place until Allah Himself gives permission. No one has free reign to go and intercede as he wills with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike what you see with the kings of the world. The kings of the world, anyone can go to them, a minister or something, plead with him, asking, put pressure upon him, this, that and the other. And this is how it works in the world. But this is not how it is. Allah has denied intercession, that anyone can make intercession or has the right to make intercession until and unless he gives permission first, and until and unless he is pleased with the one who is interceding, which means he must be a person of Tawheed, and the one for whom he is interceding, who also must be a person of Tawheed. So this means, therefore, that all of the possible arguments and justifications for shirk, which are four, which are summarized in four, they are all negated and denied in this, by this verse. Right? So, as you can see, all of these ayat that Shaykh Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah has mentioned, they all establish Allah's complete dominion, His rububiyyah, His ownership, His control, His regulation over the whole of His creation. No one shares with Him, no one is a partner to Him, no one is a supporter, an aider or an assistant to Him. He doesn't need any of that, and likewise no one can freely intercede with Him. Now the Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimullah, he comments now upon this answer, and he says from this that to merely affirm that Allah is the Lord, that He is the Rabb, and to establish Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to establish this without worshipping Allah alone, without Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, this will never benefit. It will not benefit anybody. Why? Because he says the mushrikeen, they never used to deny that Allah is the Lord, the Creator, the Maker. Rather, they used to acknowledge this fact. And there are many ayat in the Quran which establish clearly. He mentions one of them, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad, meaning the pagans, the polytheists, who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, it is Allah. وَلِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, all praise due to Allah, but most of them do not know. So these polytheists, they know that Allah is the Creator and the Maker. They did not deny that. But what they say that we worship these other things besides Allah. We know they are created. We know they are creatures of Allah. And but they themselves, they are close to Allah. Right? So meaning, they are talking about like the righteous people, the righteous dead people. They say they are closer to Allah than we are because of their righteousness and their piety. And therefore, because they are closer to Allah, this is the easiest and the closest way that we ourselves can become close to Allah through them, because they already have this closeness to Allah. So that for that reason, we basically effectively, we worship them in the sense that we call upon them, we invoke them, and we seek their intercession, and they are the ones who bring us closer to Allah. This was the nature of the shirk of the pagans of Makkah. Right? They did not worship the idols. Nobody worshipped an idol believing that the idol can benefit or harm. But the idol is simply a focal point. It is simply something physical and tangible with which or through which to channel the worship which is really intended for the righteous dead, right? No idol worshipper believes that the idol actually gives him anything or has any power, right? But it is a focal point for something else. And what is that something else? You know, it is the righteous dead, or it is a representation of an angel. It is, you know, something like that through which they channel worship to the righteous dead. So this is what they say. This is the argument. And in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, he says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. This is the argument clearly explained here, that those who take besides him protectors, they say, we do not worship them, except that they may bring us closer to Allah. So, we can see, what is the point being made? The Shaykh says, the point being made is, on the one hand, they say, we believe Allah is the Creator, the Maker, the Provider, the Sustainer. On the other hand, they say that we acknowledge that these people are themselves created, and they are servants of Allah, but they are righteous. Right? We don't believe that they bring benefit, that they bring harm, that they give life, that they take death, that they give us provision or restrict our provision. We don't believe that. But these are righteous people, and they are closer to Allah than we are. So we seek closeness to Allah through them. So they make them basically intermediaries, and they seek their intercession. Right? They don't believe that they have power over life or death or sustenance, provision, or benefit and harm, but they want to get closer to Allah through them. So the Shaykh says, so therefore did إذن فهل نفع المشركون الذين كانوا يقرون بتوحيد الربوبية ويعترفون به ولا ينكرونه. Meaning, so did their belief in Allah's rububiyyah, did it benefit them in anything? Did it make them believers? Did it make them to be people of Tawheed just because they believe there's one Lord, one Creator, one Maker? No, it didn't. The answer is no, and it will not benefit them at all, because the one who acknowledges Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, then, you know, at the same time, he worships other than Allah, And, you know, he says, these are our awliya. We worship them to get closer to Allah. We worship them because we want their intercession. We ask them so that they in turn go and ask Allah on our behalf because we are sinful. Maybe Allah will not accept from us because we are sinners, but they are righteous. So we ask them because it is more likely to be, you know, answered, and our needs are more likely to be fulfilled through them. Effectively, what they are doing is that they are making it look as if Allah Azza wa Jal, the way He interacts with His creation, is in the same way that the kings of this world, that they interact with their subjects. Right? So in the life of this world, you see there are kings, and the kings, they run their dominion, but they are in need of assistants, they are in need of helpers, they are in need of ministers. And then when the people have their needs, they don't go directly to the king, they go and petition, right? Meaning it's like a type of begging. They go to a minister, and the minister will then go and raise the issues to the king, right? And the king has to be informed. He doesn't know the condition of his subjects, right? So here we have intermediaries, and things work through intercession. They are trying to make it look as if this is how Allah behaves with respect to His creation. And this is completely false, because Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, invoke me and I shall respond to you. Very clearly explicit that we invoke Allah. And وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you concerning me, then indeed I am close, I am near. Right? So, and then also in the Sunnah as well, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, then ask only of Allah, and many, many other things like that, where we are prohibited to invoke other than Allah. So all of this is clear that we can ask Allah directly. There are no interceders, there are no intermediaries. We ask Allah directly and Allah responds. But this belief that they operate upon, this belief is really they are resembling Allah with His creation. Because it is the creation and the kings of the world who operate in this manner, and they're trying to resemble Allah to that. And so this is like a type of resemblance of the Creator with the creation and refugees with Allah. But as the Shaykh says, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing that that prevents a servant from his Lord. There is no intermediary between a servant and his Lord. Rather, a servant becomes closer to his Lord by obedience and by invocation and by worship. He has a direct relationship and connection to his Lord. So that's why the Shaykh goes on to say, as a piece of advice, he says, O Abdullah, O slave of Allah, you know, be persistent and be consistent in dua, and humble yourself in front of your Lord, because He is the one who answers your dua. And therefore, from all of this discussion, we know that whoever believed in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah but did not actualize Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, then he will fall into shirk. He will fall into shirk. And this person will not be excused because of his belief in al-Rububiyyah. It should lead you to singling out Allah in His worship. And this is, he goes on to explain that the polytheists, that the Messenger of Allah that he fought against, they affirmed that Allah is the Creator. Despite that, the Messenger of Allah, he fought them, and you know, he did whatever he did from the corollaries of making jihad in the path of Allah, what follows on from that. And then the Shaykh goes on to finish by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He is the master of every single thing, the owner of every single thing, the controller of every single thing, and any other thing, no matter what its level or status, from a man or a jinn or an angel. They do not own anything in Allah's creation. Not even an atom is owned by them in Allah's creation. Rather, they only have ownership by way of what Allah gave them ownership of. Right? Like a king who has a dominion. That is not his dominion. It is only his dominion because Allah gave it to him. He does not independently own that dominion. And if Allah wants, He will strip him of that dominion, as we see time and time and time again in history, in nations. Empires come, empires go. We have leaders, they come and they go. How many leaders have we seen? Decades and decades and decades of the rule, and then in an instant, they are gone. They are dead and buried. You know, like in an instant. Like Saddam Hussein, for example, or Gaddafi in Libya, for example, or many examples like this from the, you know, from the heads and chiefs of the people and the leaders of states. So Allah is the one who gives the dominion and is the one who takes the dominion. He removes the dominion. So this was from Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah. And then we have from Sheikh Ibn Taymin, I believe, his commentary on this same question, what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? In fact, it is Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. And so Sheikh al-Fawzan says, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, what is it? Huwa ifradullahi ta'ala bi-af'alihi. Ifradullahi ta'ala bi-af'alihi. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah can be defined as singling out Allah in His actions. Which actions? Actions of creating, actions of providing, actions of owning, actions of giving life, taking life, giving benefit, causing harm, and all the other actions that relate to His creation and governing of His creation, then it is to single out Allah with those actions. The Shaykh mentions the ayah. He says, بِأَنْ يُعْتَقَدْ أَنَّهُ وَحْدَهُ الْخَالِقُ لِجَمِيعِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is the creator of every single thing. That's Surah Zumar, Surah 39, verse 62. And he goes on to say, and likewise, so from Rububiyyah is to believe Allah is the creator. Likewise from Rububiyyah, وَأَنَّهُ الرَّازِقُ لِجَمِيعِ الدَّوَابِ وَالْآدَمِيِّينَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. Likewise that He is the provider for all animals or beasts, and likewise the men and others. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature upon the earth except that its sustenance is from Allah, is upon Allah. Likewise, وَأَنَّهُ مَالِكُ الْمُلْكِ. That He is the owner of the dominion, and that He is the mudabbir, He is the controller of all of the affairs of the world. And you know, He yuwalli, he puts people in power, وَيَعْزِلْ, and He removes them, وَيُعِزْ, وَيُذِلْ, and He gives honor to some, and He humiliates others, and that He is qadirun ala kulli shay. He has power over everything. يُصَرِّفُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَيُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ. Right? So He turns the night and the day, He gives life and He takes life. And then Shaykh mentions the passage in Ali Imran, verse 26 and 27. وَلِلَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This passage mentions the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, say, O Allah, Malikul Mulk, the king or the owner of the dominion, you give the dominion to whomever you will, and you take it from whomever you will. You give honor to whomever you will, and you humiliate whomever you will. You lower whomever you will. In your hand is all goodness. Indeed, you are powerful over everything. You merge the night into the day, and you merge the day into the night. And you take the living out of the dead, and you take the dead out of the living. And you provide whomever you will without any reckoning, without, you know, that you give provision without any hisab. So again, look at this ayah, look at all the things that this ayah contains. It shows that Allah in reality is the king of the dominion. He is the one who gives dominion to the kings of the world and to the empires of the world, right? So, you know, he gave it to the Roman Empire, he gave it to the Persian Empire for a while, and he gave it to many empires before them, and then he took it and they were destroyed. Just like he gave it to nations after that. And today we have nations, there's an empire, the US Empire, we had the Russian Empire, we had the British Empire. These things, they come and go. It is Allah who gives that dominion, and he takes that dominion. And likewise, he gives honor to whomever he wills, and he humiliates whomever he wills. He is the one who does that. And in his hand is all goodness. And he goes on to mention the phenomenon, the day and the night that we can see, and the living out of the dead and the dead out of the living. So there are two types of things. There are those things which relate to the physical creation, like the night and the day, the sustenance, the provision. And then there are those things that relate to men and people and nations and civilizations, which is the lowering and the raising and the giving, and all of this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh goes on to mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated that he has any partner in his mulk, or that he has any mu'een. He has no shariq and he has no mu'een, meaning anyone to aid him, like we saw in the verse before, like a dhahir, like an assistant or an aider. So he has no shariq fil khalqi wal rizq, in creating and providing. هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه. This is the creation of Allah. So Allah points to the phenomena and says, this is the creation of Allah. Show me what those besides him have created. Right? So those besides him do not create anything. They look at Allah's creation and they try to mimic the creation. That's what they do. But they do not create life from non-life. They're unable to do it. It's impossible. They know it's impossible to do that. So they try to mimic what Allah has created. There is no resemblance between what they make and what Allah has created. And likewise, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ in Surah Al-Mulk. Right? Who is the one who's going to give you provision if he withholds his provision? Right? So it shows that he is the one who creates in reality, and he is the one who provides in reality. No one shares with him in any of that. Right? So we have al-khalq, we have al-mulk, we have al-rizq. All of these belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he said that likewise Allah announces his rububiyyah, that he is singled out by way of the ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen, he is the Lord of the worlds, which means he is the only Rabb. He mentions the other ayah as well in Surah Al-A'raf. Inna Rabbakum Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawat wal-ard fi sittati ayamin thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Indeed, your Lord is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he ascended above the throne. Yughshi al-layla an-nahar, he covers the day with the night, and it pursues it in a course. And the sun, وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمْرَ وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ, and the sun and the moon and the stars are subjected by his command. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, to him belongs the creation and the command. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So blessed be Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Very, very clear ayat establishing the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that is so apparent and so clear that it is something that is firmly fixed and entrenched in the fitra of all people. Shaykh al-Fawzan goes to mention that this is وَقَدْ فَطَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى الْإِقْرَارِ بِرُبُوبِيَتِهِ. Allah has created all of mankind in a way that they naturally acknowledge His Lordship. Until even the polytheists, you know, those who worshipped other than Allah, as we've already seen, even they believed in the Lordship of Allah. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. Say, who is the Lord of the seven heavens and the Lord of the mighty throne? They will surely say Allah. قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Say, do you not then fear? قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلِيهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Say, who is the one in whose hand is the dominion of everything and the one who gives protection but he is not given protection? If you really know, سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. They will surely say it is Allah. قُلْ فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. Then how are you bewitched? Right? So these are rhetorical questions to the polytheists, that if you believe Allah is the one who is the creator and the owner and the Lord and the controller, then how are you deluded by worshipping other than Allah? How are you bewitched? How are you deluded? It doesn't make sense. So the Sheikh goes on to say, so we know that this Tawheed, where you believe there is a Lord, one Lord, creator, provider, sustainer, this is something that no one opposed from Bani Adam. No one really opposed this from the whole of Bani Adam, because the hearts are, maftura, they are inclined towards that. And the only people who denied this were people who, it was done not out of conviction, but out of pretense, and out of pretending to be ignorant. Like, for example, Fir'aun, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, or that Musa said to him, قَالَ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرِ. So even Fir'aun, when all the signs were coming and the calamities were coming, Musa al-Islam said to him, you know that no one revealed these things except the Lord of the heavens and the earth as basair, meaning as evidences so that you can clearly see. And these people, Fir'aun and these people were convinced, they knew. Inwardly they knew. That's why Allah, he said also in another ayah, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. Right? That Fir'aun and his people, they made juhud. They willfully and knowingly rejected these signs, even though inwardly their souls were convinced by these signs. And they did so out of oppression and seeking highness upon the earth. Right? So inwardly they know. But outwardly they are pretending not to know. And the reason is because they want to seek authority on the, they want power, and they want to cause corruption on the earth. And that's why they are making a pretense of not knowing, even though inwardly they are convinced that Musa alayhi salam is speaking the truth and that there is a Lord of the worlds. And this is the reality, in fact, of all atheists in every age and era. Every age and era. And even the modern atheists today, as we mentioned in previous lessons, when you go to their chiefs and their figureheads and their key, the ones who propound these ideas, you can find them making very frank statements, saying, like this Jean-Paul Sartre, we quoted him before in a previous lesson, they make an admission saying that whenever we sit and we reflect, we simply can't get the idea of a God outside of our minds. And when we reflect upon man and everything, we cannot escape the compelling conclusion that everything was put here for man to come to be. that we can't shake this idea from our mind. It's any time you think about it, you're forced to go to that conclusion, right? And this is the fitrah. This is the fitrah that is there in every single person. It is a compelling belief. You cannot escape this belief. And the only reason these people, they pretend outwardly, inwardly they're convinced, because they can't shake the idea. Outwardly, it's a pretense. They invent all these philosophies and things to justify their atheism and to justify the life of pleasure and frivolity that they want to live. Right? So we shouldn't be deceived as if these people have, you know, something to stand upon. They don't. They actually make a pretense. It's tajahul and tadahur, right? It's pretending to be ignorant. It's pretending not to know. It's like, you know, to make a display. So the Sheikh goes on to say, and we finish with this last point, he says, today likewise, the communists, it's exactly the same thing. The communists today, the shuyu'iyin, the communists, they are exactly the same. Right? He says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا يُنْكِرَ الرَّبِّ الْيَوْمِ مِنَ الشُّيُوعِيِّينَ إِنَّمَا يُنْكِرُونَهُ فِي الظَّاهِرِ مُكَابَرَةً. Right? They are only outwardly, out of arrogance, rejecting a maker. But inwardly, they know and they are convinced, they know in the baqin that, you know, there is no mawjood except that it must have a mujid. They know these principles, right? You can't have a muhdath without a muhdith. You can't have a mawjood, a mujad without a mujid, right? Something that comes to be, exists, has to have something to bring it into existence, right? Something which is new emerges, you know, is originated, has to have an originator. These are basic principles that everybody knows. And they know this for certainty. But, you know, they, again, it is out of arrogant denial. And then the Sheikh finishes at the end by saying, in fact, he says that these people, وَمَنْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ الْمَثَابَةِ فَقَدْ أَلْغَى عَقْلَهُ وَدَعَ النَّاسِ لِلسُّخْرِيَةِ مِنْهُ. Right, these type of people, effectively, it's as if they've abolished their own intellect, and they are inviting people to mock them. Meaning the atheists, the ones who believe these things, that you can have a muhdath without a muhdith and a mujad without a mujid. You know, right? These people are just mocking their own intellects and inviting you to actually mock them, that they believe silly things like this. And then he finishes with a line of poetry, كَيْفَ كيف يعصى الإله ويجهده الجاهد وفي كل شيء له آية تدل على أنه واحد. Which is, how can the Ilah, how can Allah the Ilah be disobeyed, and how can the denier deny him, yet in every single thing there is a sign pointing to the fact that he is one. That he is one, right? Meaning that this is so obvious that everything you look at, you know, that you see in creation, it forces you to come to the conclusion that there has to be a maker. So how can these people deny? It's as if they're denying knowledge itself, right? So the Shaykh finishes on that note, and inshallah we'll finish our lesson there for today. So today we established really Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. We looked extensively at various evidences from the Qur'an, from the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which we see various aspects of Allah's rububiyyah, which is creation and provision and ownership of the mulk and giving and taking the mulk, of life and death, and likewise all of the things like guidance and misguidance and so on and so forth. All of that belongs only to Allah. He deals with his creation as he wills, with his wisdom and his justice and his mercy. There is none to share with him. There's no partner, there's no shariq, there's no mu'een, aider, there's no dhahir, an assistant, there's no sami, there's no, you know, there's none of that. There's no nid, there's no rival, there's no kufu, like an equal. All of these are negated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no mithil, there's no likeness, All of these we see that they are negated in the Quran. So this concludes our discussion. The next one will be what is the opposite of ar-rububiyyah, of, you know, tawheed ar-rububiyyah. So we'll leave that for the next lesson. We'll conclude our lesson there for today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.